Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, all the ships at sea, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Today was episode 2 of the hot new reality show, the January 6th committee hearings. We're all waiting to find out if the former president gets to go to the fantasy suite with Lady Justice. She's blind, so he's got a shot. Now, episode... Check out. Episode 1 was a huge hit because at least 20 million people watched Thursday's hearing, okay? We were live, okay? 20 million people. That's the kind of audience usually reserved for Sunday night football. Yeah, it makes sense, because Thursday's hearing featured even more guys with brain damage. So far... So far, my major feeling about these hearings, both Thursday and today, is one of enormous gratitude. We know a lot of this stuff already, but watching them put it together reminds us that we're not crazy. You see, for the past 17 months, the former president and his spineless toadies have been gaslighting us, telling us that we did not see what we all saw, a coup. And it's not like the guy was hiding it ever. In the lead-up, the former president said things like this.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens.
But people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and we'll have a very peaceful... There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
There's your evidence, Your Honor. Exhibit A-hole. He told everyone he was going to commit a crime, and then he went out and he crimed it. Reminds me of O.J.'s first book, When I'll Do It. Today's hearing laid out 2 vital points. First, everyone, all of the former president's advisors, repeatedly told him in the clearest possible language that the election was not stolen and that there was absolutely no evidence that it was. And second, the former president decided instead to listen to Rudy Giuliani and his advisors, Ernest and Giulio Gallo. First thing this morning, sure, why not? It's an American classic. First thing this morning, Liz Cheney laid out the case.
You will also hear testimony that President Trump rejected the advice of his campaign experts on election night and instead followed the course recommended by an apparently inebriated Rudy Giuliani to just claim he won and insist that the vote counting stop, to falsely claim everything was fraudulent.
That raises an interesting question. How many of the former president's terrible ideas came from an inebriated Rudy Giuliani? Could it be all of them? Just tell everybody just to inject the bleach. What if you nuked a hurricane? I know. Sell Puerto Rico, buy Greenland. They tell you not to look at the eclipse. You should fight the eclipse. The eclipse was looking at your woman. Come at me. Drunker?
Drunker,
didn't I say you'd be drunker?
Maybe a little.
As evidence of just how, shall we say, thirsty Rudy was, the committee played videotaped testimony from former campaign advisor and man who just chugged a tall glass of hair, Jason Miller.
Was there anyone in that conversation who, in your observation, had too much to drink?
Like Mayor Giuliani?
It's a bit of a leading question. They followed up by asking, do you notice anyone that night who was maybe farting while leaking hair dye and ranting in front of a dildo shop? Anyone like that? Could be anyone. Take your time. Think back. The ranting in front of a dildo shop. The lawyer kept digging.
Tell me more about that. What was your observation about his potential intoxication during that discussion about what the president should say when he's addressed the nation on election night?
And the mayor was definitely intoxicated, but I do not know his level of intoxication when he spoke with the president, for example.
Well, let me help you out here. There are five levels of intoxication on the Rudy breathalyzer. There's over the legal limit, rooting around the dumpster for empties, rooting around his pants in Borat, planning coup in a blackout, and the masked singer. True story. Based on true story. After the hearing was over, Rudy's lawyer released a statement saying the former mayor wasn't drunk on election night and that Rudy denies all falsehoods by the angry and misguided Ms. Cheney. Of course, the actual testimony was given by Jason Miller, not Liz Cheney, but you can't expect him to tell those people apart. He's hammered. We also heard, I'm a little thirsty myself. Oh, yeah. We also heard from the former president's campaign manager and man who was born knowing how to play lacrosse, Bill Stepien. The committee played videotaped testimony of Stepien in which he was asked about Giuliani and his pals who were pushing all the election fraud conspiracies.
There were two groups of them. We called them kind of my team and Rudy's team. I didn't mind being characterized as being part of Team Normal. As reporters, you know, kind of started to do around that point in time.
It's true. There were two different teams. There were Team Normal and Team Rudy, also known as the Chardonnay team. The former president. One more. One more Rudy joke. The former president did not win the election, and to back that up, they brought in former Fox News editor and hard-boiled egg rejected on a Zoom date, Chris Steigerwalt. Chris was part of the election team that called Arizona for Biden on Fox News. He went on air to defend that decision on Fox News, which enraged the former president. So 2 months later, Steigerwalt was fired by Fox. And today, when he was asked about calling Arizona that night, it seemed like Steigerwalt wanted his old job back.
It was really controversial to our competitors who we beat so badly by making the correct call first. Our decision desk was the best in the business, and I was very proud to be a part of it. Let me tell you, our poll in Arizona was beautiful. We were able to make the call early. We were able to beat the competition.
I'm also fluent in Spanish. I am proficient in Microsoft Excel. I drive stick. And my greatest weakness is that I care too much. Please, somebody hire me. No one's signing up for my OnlyFans. Poor guy. He did the right thing for the wrong people. The committee played some of the former president's greatest election-denying hits, including this gem.
It was 10 o'clock, and you looked at the numbers, and I'm sure you felt that way. This election was over, and then they did dumps. They call them dumps, big, massive dumps.
To give you an idea of how massive, 4 hours earlier, this was dinner. One. Sorry. I'm sorry. You're nice people. I'm sorry. One breakout star returned from night one, former Attorney General and Sith Lord summoning another basket of onion rings, Bill Barr. Bill Barr explained that he never bought Giuliani's fraud theories, as he explicitly told the former president.
I told him that the stuff that his people were shoveling out to the public was bull. I mean, that the claims of fraud were bull. I reiterated that they'd wasted a whole month on these claims on the Dominion voting machines, and they were idiotic claims. I thought, boy, if he really believes this stuff, he has, you know, lost contact he's become detached from reality, if he really believes this stuff.
It's so sad to think that the man who spent years insisting that windmills caused cancer somehow lost touch with reality. Of course, my bosses here, the taskmasters, the overlords, the brass, the honchos here at CBS will not allow me to repeat what Barr called those claims. Is there another way of describing them?
Dumps. Big, massive dumps.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Bryan Cranston.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Oh, what a treat for everybody out there. My first guest tonight is a 6-time Emmy and 2-time Tony Award-winning actor you know from Your Honor, Network, and Breaking Bad. He now stars in Jerry and Marge Go Large.
Sample size. That is where I went wrong. I didn't calculate the frequency of probability. It's just math.
Oh, I don't like math.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Here, let me show you a little. Here, so if you take a coin and you flipped it 1,000 times, you might still get 60% heads. But if you flipped it 5,000 times, the probability gets closer to 50%. The sample has to be large enough to take luck out of the equation. And this is for you.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Bryan Cranston.
Your audience is always so cocained up. I tell you, I love it.
Yeah, well, that's...
energized.
That's how you get the big numbers. Yep. Now, Bryan, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, yeah.
What, being a sea captain now? Bring in your load of ambergris from Old Cafe.
I could be a sea captain. I could do the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
Sure.
Or I could be an old-timer prospector. Or I could be like Rutherford B. Hayes, you know, one of our presidents.
You could be a 19th century president.
Here, let me look off like that.
Yes.
Always looking to the side.
Yes. Dies of bilious dropsy.
He dies a horrible death.
Yes.
Or it could just be that I've lost my razor.
I like you've got these things a little waxed out a little bit here. It's a waxy up.
That is, you know, yeah. It's like it's a personal name. I give it a little waxy, a little
sure.
twist.
A little yes. twist. Have you ever had a full beard?
I have had as full as I can get, and the cold beard. And I love, this is my, that was my favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like a villain in the board game Clue.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy having a beard?
I loved it. Yeah. Because not having shoulders wider than my hips, it is the only secondary male sex characteristic I have, is being able to grow a beard. I felt very manly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you enjoy the beard?
I do, except sometimes, you know, when you're drinking a cappuccino, you have cappuccino for hours.
Sure, the flavor saver.
I will find a little nugget of something in there, and it's like, oh, that's the meatloaf I had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's still pretty good.
Now, Tonys were last night.
Yeah.
You are a two-time Tony winner, as I was telling the people there. Last night, you got to... Last night, you got to present to lead actor.
Right.
And do you enjoy doing the award shows? Like, you know, because you go to them, that's one thing, because there's that nervousness, like, will I win? Will I win? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the most friendly environment for a person, an actor, to go down the red carpet. It's not the greatest interview sequence. You know, because a
lot of... Not the most in-depth questions?
In-depth questions. A lot of people don't know who you are. They have a microphone and they have an earpiece, and they are watching and listening for someone with a bigger name. So they're going, tell me about your show.
It's called Jerry and Marge.
Did you have fun on... That sounds great. Did you have fun on the show?
Well, I mean, obviously, I really love the script.
Okay, Tom Cruise, please, Tom Cruise. Thank you, Tom Cruise. Yeah, yeah, it's like,
yeah,
and you just feel like,
yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you something. Just to jump to a different show for just a second. So, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey have a book about The Office that they wrote, and in it. They talk about the episode that you directed, which is called Work Bus, right?
Work Bus, yeah.
Work Bus. In the episode, they call it Death Bus.
Oh, that's just so unfair.
It's not entirely unfair, based upon what I read. Can you please explain to the people why it's called Death Bus?
Well, okay, so the team has some fumigation at the office, so we have to go on to a bus. And we set up desks on the bus.
There's the shot.
To be able to continue to do the work.
Yep.
And so in order to do that, we have all these actors in there. They pulled on a trailer a refrigeration system, an AC system. But what they didn't plan on, they didn't think that where the intake for the refrigeration system was exactly lined up to where the tailpipe of the bus was. So the exhaust of the bus was going right to the intake, cooling it, because when you breathe in carbon monoxide, you want it cool. The cooler,
so
the better. Yeah,
it's like a mentholated cigarette.
It is. As you fall into a deep coma and eventually die, you want to know that you went out smoothly, softly.
How long did it take to realize this?
Okay, so it's not fair that it's called Death Bus because no one died. I'll admit, it was my aim. But Jenna Fischer actually saved everyone's life.
How?
Well, she said, I smell exhaust. It's coming inside the bus. And I'm saying, Jenna, that's... how is that possible? It's not possible. We have air conditioning. And she goes, no, it's coming in. I think it's this into... And I got a chair, and I stood up on the thing, and I stuck my nose up in there, and sure enough... It was billowing down. It was carbon monoxide. I wasn't quite sure, so I got a second wind. I got some more. I got nice and dizzy, and then realized, oh my God, we could have all been dead. It would have been one hell of an episode.
Yeah.
It would have been the finale before they would have planned that, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Carell bursts on the bus as surprise and goes, hey, I'll leave.
I heard that you were actually in the episode that followed that production.
I was in the next one. I was Broccoli Rob in the next episode, which was called Here Comes Trouble. I believe that was the Here Comes Trouble
episode. Did you enjoy that experience?
Very much so. I look forward to watching it someday.
Oh, Stephen.
What? No, I've actually never seen it.
Why?
I just haven't had a chance.
Come on.
Was it good?
I've never seen it either. But... I guess if we're being honest.
You and also your friend and friend of the show, Aaron Paul, yeah. as we've said before, have a lovely mezcal company, Dos yeah. Hombres.
Yes, we do.
And we have some... Would you like,
I
have
yes,
some,
I love it. Yes, okay.
Now, little here's the thing. Snort. You guys have gone on... You guys have gone on a tour. Do you like to sip, or you can just sip whatever
I just like
do?
To sip it. And
okay, there you go.
Serve it neat, and
okay.
it's beautiful.
Now, this year, you took the mezcal on a... Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
On a tour. What was the tour? What did you guys do? Oh,
it's crazy. It's like a salud.
Sure. Oh. Ooh.
Is that nice? It's good.
I can feel bad decisions coming
yes.
on.
Yes.
I don't know why, but I feel like fighting you right now.
Oh, you don't want to fight this.
Oh, no.
Because this comes with a fight.
I saw a photo of you guys, I think on Reddit, at like a Costco signing bottles.
Oh, yeah.
So it was all glamour.
All glamour. It's show business, Stephen.
Sure.
It's all glamour all the time.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, Brian and I will gamble with other people's money.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Star in Jerry and Marge Go Large. Yeah. I knew this story before the film came out. I love this story. Tell the folks what it's about.
A retired couple, Jerry and Marge Selby, in a real life couple in Everett, Michigan. Very small town, 1,900 people, one traffic light. He's got a brilliant mathematical mind, worked for Kellogg's for a number of years. 65 years old, it's time that he's retired, but he doesn't know what to do with himself. He goes to his friend, gas station, sells milk and coffee and lotto tickets, and reads the little table tent on the table. And he takes out his mechanical pencil and a napkin, and he figures out the rules of this, the way the game is structured, and he sees a mathematical flaw in the construct of the game. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that if he plays at a certain time and a certain amount of money, the odds are in his favor to win. So he gets his entire town, virtually, and his kids are involved in it, and they bet hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it keeps going up and up and up. For 9 years, they played.
And they're winning.
They're winning every time because it's math. It's either right or wrong, and it was right. And they ended up winning $27 million.
Wow.
Wow, is
that
right.
That is a hopeful story.
Yes.
Yes.
It was great. And Annette Bening plays Marge to my Jerry. And mm-hmm. she's not only a great actor, but such a lovely human being. So we had a great time.
Now, I don't play the lotto much, but we do like to do something on the show, which we call sack, 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 sack. It's on the Thursday show, we do a sack every week where people go around and they write their name on a dollar bill uh-huh. and they put it in a sack.
Okay.
And they actually put it in this sack.
Oh, okay.
They put it in this sack right here.
Uh-huh.
And this is probably illegal, but... And then what I do is I pick a name out to who the winner is.
Right.
And actually, I pick out twice. I pick out the first one. I go, tonight's loser is, because this is the person who would have won if we were choosing the first dollar. When I say the
who
loser...
Who does that?
I do that.
That's,
I do that.
That's just cruel.
It is. It's kind of funny, though. And then I do the winner. And if it's a tough week, I match the sack. So will you help me? Would you actually put this is we have
this is a real
this
sack.
Is a real this is a real sack. Deal. It's filled with real American greenbacks right in there. Okay, so tonight's loser is.
Oh my God. I have to play your cruel
tonight's
game.
Loser
tonight's
is,
loser.
Brian. Tonight's loser is.
Is.
Okay.
Is Tom Carell. Carell. Tom Carell.
Tom Carell, video engineer. Sorry, Tom.
Oh my God.
Better luck next time. Tonight's winner is.
I'm going to get you a bottle of Dos Hombres, so
tonight's
you're not winner. A loser.
Tonight's winner is.
Tonight's winner is. George Washington?
Jesse and Derek. This is Makeup and Wardrobe.
Yeah.
Sack, 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 sack,
sack, sack, sack.
Brian.
Very nice.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you very much. Good to see you,
you're
Steven.
A gentleman,
thank
an
you.
Artist, and there aren't
and
too many
of
us left, yes?
And by the way, thank you for your monologues every night to make us laugh through a lot of the pain.
That oh, works. You're very kind. There you go. Pain.
Thank you.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.